In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of my pet peeves while teaching is the complaint that whatever it is that we're reading, be it an ancient text of philosophy, doesn't understand the real world. And usually what is meant by that is that it's naive. It doesn't understand the cynical way in which things happen. And therefore is some hopeless ideal. Today is recognized in the Anglican Church and in other churches as Freedom Sunday. So here's a real world topic. The terrible, horrible practice of human trafficking. So it's a day designated for prayer, for worship, for education, to address this ongoing horrible crime. The buying of people for exploitation, be it exploitation of sexual nature or for labor, for street crime, for domestic labor, even for the harvesting of organs. It's estimated that this is a business with billions and billions of dollars of profit. And at its most least estimate involves 30 million plus people annually. That's nearly 3/4 of the Canadian population. An insidious crime that exploits the vulnerable, especially those in search of a better life. And it is utterly dehumanizing. This is, as many of you know, also Black History Month. And the topic of human trafficking and slavery casts its long, dark shadow. Here we see the long effects of the dehumanizing practice of the transatlantic slave trade and the echoes that are still felt to this day. One of my heroes of the 19th century is the freed slave Frederick Douglass. Douglass, while born into slavery, rose to become one of the 19th century's greatest orators across the world. Likely, by far and away, an American who was listened to in person by more people than anyone else. And if we look to Douglass's personal history, he has several autobiographies that he writes throughout his life. Throughout them all, he lists the turning point in his life in which he escapes that slavery. From the point that he began to read, he was taught how to read by his master's wife. And in that process, his master himself greatly objected. And it was that fight between the master and the wife that taught him a valuable lesson of the nature of slavery. His master said, "If you give a slave an inch, they will take a mile. A slave should know nothing but to obey his master, to do as he is told to do. Learning would spoil the best slave. If you teach that slave how to read, there will be no keeping him. It would forever make him unfit to be a slave. He would become at once unmanageable and of no value to his master. As to himself, it could do him no good, but a great deal of harm. it would make him discontented and unhappy. Douglas says, these words sank deep into my heart and stirred up sentiments within me that lay slumbering. It was a revelation, he says, explaining dark and mysterious things. I now understood what had been in me a most perplexing difficulty, to wit, man's power to enslave the black man. And from that time I understood, he writes, the pathway from slavery to freedom. And indeed, Douglas, as I said, went on to be one of the great authors and orators of the 19th century. It's hard for us to imagine the hopelessness or the feeling of hopelessness in the mid-19th century, in the American scene and the ever-growing conflict between slavery and its opponents, and the very quote-unquote real-world problem of slavery there. And it didn't end with the Civil War. It was also continued, the struggle continued, in the difficulties and the corruptions of Reconstruction. There seems to be, in Frederick Douglass's life, this distinction between what ought to be and what actually is. And it resonates with that phrase from Paul's letter to the Romans today, that hope against hope. And thus the question is, what does this have to do with our readings from Scripture today? And I think a lot. It's this way in which the promises of God seem so absurd, and yet they prevail against this real world. We begin our readings today with Genesis and the story of Abraham, if ever there was an absurd promise of God in Scripture. This is a good starting point. Here is someone who left his kin, his homeland, all that could protect him and benefit him. And now he is, as Paul says, as good as dead, 100 years old with a wife of 90. And his promised offspring. This is, to use the technical term, bananas. And I would say, not more believable 2,500 years ago, perhaps it's somewhat more believable now that this would be possible. And that's true of the characters themselves. Their first reaction, Abraham and later Sarah, is to laugh at this possibility. And that's, of course, where Isaac gets his name. But there is this trust, nevertheless, in this absurdity versus the real world. A trust that the Lord says, I will make you not only numerous, but a father of many nations, even of kings. And so Paul in Romans today says, Abraham hopes against hope. I love that phrase. Despite in this failing body, abides in faith in God's absurd promise over the real world. And it is reckoned to him as righteousness and to us. Our gospel today is a passage right in the middle of a dramatic series of events, as it always is, of course. It's a passage that follows Peter's, the one who is rebuked, Peter's affirmation of Jesus as the awaited Messiah. You are the Messiah, he says, just before our passage today. But Peter's version of that is the real world one. That is, the one who will be king, the one who will liberate Israel, and probably give Peter some cushy post. It's also before the vision of the Transfiguration, in which the true meaning of the Messiah is revealed before Peter. Jesus really, I think, embodies that absurd promise, or supposedly absurd promise. The one that's identified by those who will give up their lives in order to live. This Messiah will give life. The freedom this Messiah gives is eternal freedom from bondage, a bondage that includes death itself. In this version of things, the real world becomes a narrow, confused bondage to shadows. The Lord is, in fact, a great liberator. Our Eucharistic prayer today will point us to that. The Lord as liberator, leading to freedom, the freedom of Hagar, of Joseph, of Israel and Babylon, all situations in which it seemed utterly hopeless by any real world standard, but promised freedom. So today, let us stare down that real world bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. For the truth and the life shall set us free. Amen.